If you would, and turn to the book of 1 Peter, As I mentioned this morning when I spoke with Pastor Schaefer via text messages, he's been asking me to come here and speak off and on now since January, and I was able to come once, and then events changed the other three or four times, and he asked me to come again, and when he did, I asked him if his permission to preach verse by verse through the book of Peter, since I introduced Peter to you during the first time that I was here, where God looked at Peter and said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, the book of 1 and 2 Peter is just for that, to try to strengthen the brethren. Amen. And we preached from that this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I hope that it was good for you.
Amen.
I hope that you were fed from it. Amen. Tonight we're going to preach from verses 3 and 4. I have my service dog with me tonight, Elvis. You're welcome to meet him. The military helped me get him about 18 months ago or so. And I'm doing this now for therapy, if you will. I was so embarrassed to have a service dog. It was embarrassing to me, is the best way that I can put it. And many people say, well, why would a preacher need a service dog? Don't they rely upon the Lord? The answer to your question is, yes, I rely upon God.
Amen.
But there's things that happened in Iraq and Afghanistan that are pictures within my mind that never go away. And sometimes they flash back. And they flash back, and guess where I go? I go to those places. And Elvis, my service dog, he monitors my heart rate. Amen. And when my heart rate gets above, I have a very low resting heart rate. My resting heart rate's around 40-ish, 40 to 42. When my heart rate gets around 85, I guess my body puts out an odor, and he snaps. And what he does is he'll jump up in my lap and say, hey, dude, you're not overseas anymore. You're home. At nighttime, when I'm asleep and the nightmares come, and they do come, and the night sweats come, and my body, that heart rate bumps up, and he senses it. And what's he do is he jumps on the sides of my bed, and he licks me in the face, or he goes, and wakes me up, and he tells me, hey, dude, you're not over there anymore. So that's what Elvis does, if any of you were interested. And I just wanted to let you know that, because at first, bringing him about, especially within the ministry, I was so terribly embarrassed, wondering what people thought about me, a preacher, needing a service dog. Amen. But I'm over that now. God made sure that I had him. He takes care of me. And his name is Elvis. Trisha got him those little blue booties. And when you look at him, he looks at you and says, don't step on my blue suede shoes. I'm teasing with you tonight. Amen. But Pastor Nell, a few weeks ago, he was preaching from the pulpit, and I take him to church. He goes everywhere with me, and I'm sitting in the chair, and he's at my feet, and he's resting. And Pastor Nell had mentioned my name in the service, and when he mentioned my name in the service, it caught me off guard, and my heart did this. Just like as your pastor, if he mentions your name from the pulpit, you'll, okay, what does he want? Well, amen. That's okay, Brother Mendez. I love you, brother. God loves you more. But when he did that, Elvis jumped up in my lap and said, hey, it's okay. And tonight, if my blood pressure happens to pop up, he may want to come to me. And if he does, that's what he does. That's what he's trained to do. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. Brother Mendez, I'm praying for your wife. I hope she does not have that COVID-19.
She does not. She tested.
Okay, praise the Lord. I had a sinus infection. I'm allergic to the desert. Every plant here I'm allergic to, and I developed a sinus infection, so I went to the VA. The VA said, what are your symptoms? I said, well, I got a headache, my ears hurt, my throat hurts. Are you running a temperature? Well, yeah, I did run a little bit of temperature. I got a sinus infection. Oh, you've got COVID. Go get tested. Man, it was the worst experience I ever had in my life. I pulled up to the VA. The guy said, get out of the car. So I get out of the car, and he says, I want you to lean your head back. And he says, whatever you do, under all circumstances, do not move. And when he said that, I looked down, and by his left hand, he had this really long stick. I really don't know how long it was, and I may be exaggerating, but I'm not trying to. But it was at least that long. And I had a little white tip, and I leaned my head back, and he stuck that thing up in my nostril, and he stuck it back as far as it could go and wiggled it around. And he said, whatever you do, don't move. And I'm saying, oh, Jesus, let the rapture come. And he took that thing out, and when he did, the tears just rolled down my eyes. I couldn't stop it. And then I said, sir, I need a minute. I had to stop and walk to the back of my car, and I bent over and had to catch my breath. And I said, and I walked to the front of the car there by the door, and I said, thank you for doing that. I don't ever want to do that again. I'll see you later. He goes, nope. I got to do the left side. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And about a week later, I got the negative results as well. But I don't ever want to have that test again. No. And I'm thankful that she does not have that, brother. And I want you all to know this, too, that I love your church family. It's a blessing to be here. Pastor Schaefer, if you've listened to this message, sir, I would like to meet you one day outside of text message and just sit down with you and talk with you. And I thank you for the opportunity to come and preach and minister to these dear people. You have some special, special people here, Pastor Schaefer. Each and every time that I've preached here, they have been very attentive. They have been hungry for the Word of God. And Pastor Schaefer, every time at least one person, if not more, has come to the altar and dealt with the Lord. Amen. That tells me that your people have a tender heart and you are blessed to be a pastor of this church. And you got some good folks. Amen. And that's my heart to him because I don't know if I ever get to meet him again. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning we preached from verse 1 and 2. They were filled with doctrine, weren't they? They were filled with information. Tonight, Peter, remember God told him when I was here last, we preached the message, Peter, when thou art converted, when you get your heart right, strengthen thy brethren. Tonight you're going to see a little bit of that as you did this morning. Look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. Oh, before I get to it, I got to do this. I want to stop down here. I forgot your name, sir. What's your name?
Leo.
Leo, I'm going to show you and you can verify to everybody else. In verse number 4, it says, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, then I underline reserved Amen. In heaven for you. And I circled the word you and I drew a line out and I put my name, Al Price, there. Yeah. I don't know if you all want to do that or not, but sometimes I need encouragement in the Lord. And that encourages me greatly knowing that God has an inheritance in heaven for you, me, Al Price. Amen. Look at verse number 3 and keep that in mind as I read this. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Lord?
Yes.
Oh, mercy, what a blessing that is, isn't it? Look at it. Which according to his abundant mercy, it was God's mercy that saved me,
Amen.
Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I circled the word you, drew a line out, and wrote my name, Al Price, and tied it to that. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement in the Lord sometimes. And I, when I get down, I go to that and say, hey, Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
Jesus has an inheritance for me, reserved for me in heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand tonight and to preach and to teach God's Word. Lord, I can't remember who said it long ago when I was in Bible college, but we had a guest preacher in college chapel that said, good preaching is good teaching and good teaching is good preaching. And Lord, I want to do both tonight and minister to the folks here. And Lord, if there is one here tonight that's without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I plead with you for their salvation. Lord, I sat in church some 20-some-odd years thinking that I was saved and didn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ until around 1987. And Lord, there might be one here tonight doing the exact same. They made a profession of faith when they were young or many years ago, but they never accepted you as their Savior. And Lord, if there's one here tonight like that, I pray that they put their pride aside and get saved before it's eternally too late. And Lord, those of us who are saved, I pray that this message will be a blessing tonight and encourage us in the Lord. In your name I pray, amen. One of the wisest things I think any child of God should ever do is to have strong hope in Jesus Christ. I can't make it without him.
Amen.
Peter The apostle of Jesus Christ, in these verses, teaches you and me about hope. One of the other apostles may have mentioned hope in the Bible, but I don't think they did, and I don't know that they did, and I can't ever find anywhere where they did. And as far as I know, within God's Word, Peter is the only apostle who ever talked about hope. Now, the other apostles talked about salvation, but Peter is the only one that I know of that talked about hope. If you know of another apostle that did after the service, come and show me, and I'll thank you for it, but I don't know of another. Peter's message is a perfect message for us tonight. Within this room tonight, I guarantee you there's somebody that's hurting really bad inside. I guarantee it. Within the room tonight, there might be someone who was strong, then became weak, and have lost hope. I think the message that Peter has here within these two verses are extremely needed today, because the world is filled with people who have lost hope. You can see the divide across America today. And it doesn't matter which side you stand upon tonight, and we're not going to get political here from the pulpit. It doesn't matter which side you stand on tonight, you're tired and you're weary. You're tired and you're weary of the mess. And when the mess is there and it continues on and on, and as soon as you think you're over one thing, next thing you know, you got killer bees. You think you're over something else, then all of a sudden there's a coin shortage. You think you're over it, and then all of a sudden there's a meteor out there that might hit the earth. And before you know it, I don't know about you, but it wears me down. I have enough problems up here in my daily life to have all these other messes come upon me. I served in the military 22 years and 10 months, and during those 22 years and 10 months, I had three friends where the pressure got so heavy upon them that they took their lives, all three by pistol. And it's an ugly thing when you walk in a room to see one of your friends and you find them lying there motionless after they have taken their own life. And this passage of Scripture right here is dealing with the subject of us as children of God to have hope. Many people today, although they might tell you differently, they live daily struggling, hoping. In this room right here tonight, every single one of us, I shouldn't say every single one of us because I'm not the Holy Spirit, but those of us who are saved tonight, we know our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that heaven's going to be our home.
Amen.
The problem is we don't know when heaven is going to be our home.
Yeah.
It could be tonight. It could be 10 years from now. It could be 20 years from now. It could be another 100 years from now. But I'm supposed to watch and look for that blessed hope. Amen. But during that time frame of watching and waiting, doesn't it get hard?
Amen.
And doesn't it get to the point you're saying, Jesus, would you just come? Doesn't it get to your life to where the pressures are so much as you think, oh my goodness, I can't handle this anymore. It's getting ugly. Come on, let's be honest tonight.
Amen.
It gets hard. If there is one thing that's true in all of our lives tonight, every single person in this room is going to have trouble within their life one day or another. It's going to happen. And every single one of us need to have a lively hope. Amen? Peter is writing to the people who are scattered abroad, those strangers that we talked about this morning who were suffering persecution. And the reason they were suffering persecution is because they were once living like the world and doing the things of the world. And on the day of Pentecost, they got saved. And when they got saved, they got baptized and they were added unto the church. They sat around Peter's teaching there for a while and they learned good Baptist doctrine.
Amen.
And after they learned good Baptist doctrine, God spoke to their hearts and taught them the doctrine of God's Word. And then the persecution came and they scattered abroad. And they took what they had learned and they started teaching the Bible to others. And pretty soon others started getting saved. And nucleuses of a group of people started coming. I'm sorry. And Peter came and he encouraged them. I was choking on my spit. Sometimes God will break us, and it's hard when He breaks us. Has God ever broken you?
Amen.
Come on. When we read the Bible, it's good to get where the rubber meets the road. And it's good to be honest with God in His Word. When my daddy died, man, I can't tell you how broken I was. He was my hero. I saw men die in accidents. I saw men die by my own hand. I saw my friends die. I saw guys being loaded up into helicopters and being taken off. And I never cried. But when my daddy died, mercy, did it change me, and did it ever break me and tear me apart, because my dad was my hero. And it broke me. But you know what takes place? When we get broken, God doesn't break us to tear us apart. He does it to purify us. We don't understand it at the time, but He does it to purify us, and He does it to remove the dross so that we can come forth as gold. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, for doing that. Get me that water. Did you get a drink out of it?
No.
Brother, it wouldn't bother me at all. When God breaks us, He's rebuilding us. And this morning with the flashlight, you remember the flashlight that we did? That was a good example. To me it was, anyway. I don't have a lot up here, and it helps me. But when that flashlight is on, sometimes that flashlight, the batteries need to be changed, don't they? Sometimes, I'm going to point all 10 fingers at Al Price, I get to doing things in my own strength while I'm walking with God. And when Al Price gets to doing things in his own strength walking with God, and he thinks he's walking with God, really he's walking with Al Price, and he's not walking with God. Although I think I'm walking with God, I'm praying to Him, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm telling Him how good He is, but I'm doing it in my own strength. Then that battery gets weak. And when it gets weak, God says, Al, you need to be recharged. So He lets a trial come into my life to get me back on my knees to where I really talk to God. And the Holy Spirit really works in my life. And I read the Word of God, and it really touches me. And then the battery's charged, and I can go forward, because now I'm walking with that blessed hope. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Now, that's the introduction. Now, let's get into the message. Look at verse number 3. Amen. Verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When you look at verse number 3, it's talking about our salvation. Some of the most religious people in the world are not going to heaven. There are people who believe in God, but they're not going to heaven. There's people who pray to God, but they're not going to heaven. There's people who believe in God, come to church, talk to Him, pray, give their tithes and their offerings, but when they die, they're going to go to hell and not go into heaven. Why? Because they fail to repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our only hope.
Amen.
And I think I'm dealing with one of my military friends right now. His name is Jeff Benninger. I ask you all to pray for him. Jeff Benninger was a airborne helicopter pilot that was shot down in Iraq. And he was hurt very, very bad. He is as lost can be, needing salvation. And he's talking to me through text messages. For some reason, he won't answer the phone when I call, so it's text message. And I'm trying to introduce him to Jesus Christ and give him the gospel, but he's wanting to rely upon his water baptism as an infant. Folks, I know you all know this, but it's okay to say it in case somebody does not. Water baptism does not save.
Amen. Right.
Coming to church does not save.
Amen.
Putting your tithes and your offerings in the offering plate does not save.
Right.
Being a good person does not save. Talking to God does not save. Praying to God does not save. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the only hope that anybody has.
Amen.
There is absolutely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, there is salvation in no other but Jesus Christ through the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says here, or it says in Peter, that we must be born again. Look at this. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay to get ahead of yourself. Look at the word hath begotten. You see the word hath begotten there within your Bible? Underline those words. That word begotten means to be born again.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
These Christians that Peter is ministering to, trying to encourage them, they had been born again. But trials and persecutions had come into these Christians' lives to the point that they had been serving God faithfully. They had learned the doctrine, and now they're scattered abroad, and churches are being started because of their faithfulness. But now there's so much upon their shoulders that they are losing hope. And Peter is wanting them to know that they have a lively hope. You might lose hope from time to time within your career. Right now you might be on a mountaintop, praise God, and I hope you stay there. But the odds are, through your Christian walk, through the hardness that's there, you're going to lose hope because it's difficult to walk the walk and talk the talk. But I want you to understand tonight that we have a lively hope. Amen. There's people today who say that they're saved, but there's no evidence of their salvation. They'll say, yep, I'm saved. You know, because they've heard the word, the cliche. They accept that word, and they know what's coming, and they know what you're going to say next, and they don't want you to bother them. So they say that they're on their way to heaven, and there's no way that you can change their mind because they're relying upon some false doctrine such as salvation through baptism or being filled with the Holy Spirit and talking in tongues and that kind of stuff. They're relying upon that instead of Jesus Christ. And they walk about, and they don't want to come to church, and they go and they do the things of the world, and things come out of their mouth that should not be, and they go places and do things that they should not do. And you're thinking, hey, there's no way as a child of God would ever want to do that. Because I don't know about you folks, but when Jesus came to live within me, something changed.
Amen.
I did not want to do those things anymore. Did I have habits? Yes, I had habits, but the Holy Spirit cleared those habits out of my life so that I could walk with God.
Right. Amen.
You know, when one is saved, things change. The book of James chapter 2 and verse number 19 says this, and I want y'all to bear with me before we get to the message. And the message, the introduction is real long, but the message is real short. Okay? The Bible says this, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Demons and Satan know that there is a God and they tremble. Demons and Satan are not going to go to heaven. They are going to be cast into hell, even though they know God and they tremble. There might be one in this room tonight who knows God, but they're not going to go to heaven. The only way that anybody can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. My favorite verse in the Bible, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen?
Yeah.
And I love that whoever comes to the Lord, the Bible says that God will in no wise cast them out.
Amen. Praise God.
It doesn't matter who that individual is. God's not going to cast them out. Amen? And Jeff, my friend, I said, Jeff, water baptism doesn't save you, buddy. You need Jesus. Well, Al, why do you think I'm not saved? Well, because you're relying on water baptism, Jeff. And you're relying on something outside of Jesus Christ. If you're in this room tonight and you're relying on anything but Jesus Christ, you have a false salvation. You don't have the real hope. And when you die, you're going to die and you're going to go to a Christless hell. You say, Brother Price, that's mean. No, that's love. I'm telling you that in love because I don't want you to go to a Christless hell. I want you to go to heaven with me. You say, how do you know you're saved? Well, let me tell you something. There's a light socket around here somewhere. Stick your finger in it and you tell me how you know there's electricity in it. Because I'm here to tell you When Jesus came to dwell within here, when he came in, other things went out.
Amen.
And there is not a doubt in this hillbilly's mind that I am saved and on my way to heaven. If you take my life right now, when I open up my eyes, I'm going to open up my eyes before a holy and a righteous God before the pearly gates. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. Not something that I did, but something that he did upon the cross of Calvary. And he made it so easy. All I had to do is repent of my sins and ask him to save my soul, and he would in no wise cast me out. I'm saved because of what he did. And so are you. Let me get another drink of this water. Look at verse number 3 again. There's so much doctrine within these verses, you can't rush through them. Some people say, I read my Bible through an entire year. Well, that's good, but what'd you learn from it?
That's good. Amen.
I ask you tomorrow morning when you read your Bible not to try to read a lengthy passage of Scripture, but maybe read one portion of Scripture. Do a hermeneutical study of the words that are within it. And see what the words mean and how they tie to the rest of the chapter in the book, and let God speak to your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Let God feed you in your devotions instead of you just and then going about your day. Look at verse number 3. It says, blessed be the God. There ain't but one God, folks. Allah is not a God.
Amen.
And Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here we see God's mercy. It talks about abundant mercy, doesn't he? And he uses that word begotten again within that verse, doesn't he? In your notes or in the side of your Bible, if you have a wide margin, I'm just trying to help here. So, because if you're like me, you'll forget. Write down the word mercy, okay, if you would. That word mercy means this: God withholding the punishment from us that we deserve. Mercy means God withholding the punishment from us that we deserve. Our price? You don't deserve heaven, you deserve hell.
That's right. Amen.
Every person within this room, you don't deserve heaven, you deserve hell.
Amen.
But because of his mercy and because of his grace, we can enter in through those pearly gates. He had no sin. He was the perfect God. His blood is pure. And I don't know about you, but Al Price has committed some terrible, 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 terrible sins. And there's not a sin in this world that his blood cannot wash away. Not one. I love the verse. I can't remember where it is right now, but it comes to my mind. But he has forgiven us as far as the east is from the west. Do you know why it doesn't say as far as the north is from the south? Because you keep going north, you're going to come around, you're going to go south again on the earth. Okay, if I head north on the earth and I keep walking around, pretty soon I'm going to be south and I'm going to go north again and go south. But if I go east, I'm always going east. It never stops. Is this east?
Yes.
If I go west, I keep going west. It never stops. When God forgave you of your sins, and he forgave me of my sins, and he washed our sins away in the blood of the Lamb, he washed them away as far as the east is from the west. Folks, that is God's mercy.
Amen.
And look at those words, begotten again. It means, as I already gave it away earlier a while ago, but it's talking about being born again. My first birth will not get me into heaven.
Amen.
Because my first birth, I was born a sinner. Your first birth, you were born a sinner too.
Right.
Amen? You say, well, when I was a baby, I wasn't a sinner. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, my daughter, my firstborn, at 2 months, 3 months old, I'd put that baby in a crib. We'd feed her. We'd change her diaper. We'd put her in the crib and get her laying there all cuddling. She's all happy. We close the door, walk out of the door. I walk in there, so what's the matter with me? I said, go to sleep, girl. And I get out and I walk over and I close the door again. What was she doing? She was lying. Acting like the world was coming to an end. She was a little sinner lying. At 2 months old.
Good, brother. Amen.
You put the babies in the nursery. What do? They fight over the toys and they bite each other. They're sinners. And you are a sinner too. But praise God for the blood of the Lamb that washes away those sins. Amen. My question to you tonight is this. I'm not asking the folks in the room here if you're saved, because that's a question that gets asked so much that people know the answer to. They go, yep, now you'll shut up. The question is this. Have you been born again? You're born the first time because you're sitting here. But have you been born again? The Lord just brought something to my mind that I want to share with you. In 1981, 1982, I can't remember, it was around Christmas time, the Koreans had moved into the DMZ zone, and we're on Guam, and we had loaded every B-52D model on Guam with conventional weapons. They took the aircraft off of alert, which had nuclear weapons on them, and loaded them with conventional bombs. They loaded the bomb bays, also the wing tips, and also the undercarriages of the wings with conventional bombs. They're going to go over and they're going to bomb Korea and get them out of the DMZ zone. Within that time, they called it a red ball when something broke. They want you there now to fix it. One of the aircraft lost an alternator. On the alternator deck, there it's about this, it's up above the landing gear in between the flight deck and the weapons bay. And you have to squat like this in the thing because you can't stand up because you hit your head. On either side of you is real tight. There's a pool of oil down here because the alternators leak oil. Okay, just it's what they do. You can't stop it. And the circuit breaker panel on this side and the circuit breaker panel on this side. To work on that alternator, you're supposed to have no power on the aircraft. The engines are running full blast. You got a colonel there with a walkie-talkie on his head telling him to fix it. Knowing that you're supposed to shut down the power, they told them they couldn't because it would take another hour to get the aircraft where it was so they can take off on time. I watched a young boy pull that panel off and take a screwdriver about that long. And he's reaching through that panel and guiding it, and his leg pricked. And it went like this, and when he did, the screwdriver hit. And when it hit, it ignited, and the oil caught on fire. Still to this day, I hear that kid scream to the top of his lungs in that fire. Still to this day, I hear the crew chief on that aircraft scream to the top of his lungs to the pilot, shut it down, shut it down. Tell him to shut the engines down. I can remember them taking him off in a stretcher with the body oil still sizzling on his body. I can remember the hair cinched to his head. I can remember he had no eyelids because they were burnt off. And I can remember his eyes going back and forth in the fear and his body just shaking in pain with blisters all over him. He died that night. But you know what? The folks in hell, they're going to burn forever and they're not going to die. And they're going to scream forever and ever and they're not going to die. And if you're here tonight and you're lost and you're not on your way to heaven, you don't have a hope outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you die, you're going to go out and die and go to that Christless hell and burn forever. Oh, now let me flip the coin onto the other side. How many people are going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment and say, I'm saved? And God's going to say, I never knew you, depart from me. Yeah. And us being off to the side, me, I'm talking about me, I'm not talking about anybody else, okay? If the Holy Spirit touches your heart through this, I pray that He does. But I can see myself standing off to the corner, and God with the Lamb's Book of Life, looking at the person just yanked out of hell and being judged before they get cast into the lake of fire, saying, depart from me, ye that do iniquity, I never knew you. And I can see them saying, but didn't I preach? Didn't I go to church? Didn't I do those things? Jesus said, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You're not saved. You haven't been washed in the blood. Then I can see that person look over at me and say, hey, didn't we know each other? I'm going to hell right now. Why didn't you tell me about the Lord?
That's good, brother.
You have the hope. You're going to heaven. You're going to walk in glory's land for all forever and ever. And I'm going to the bottomless pit with Satan forevermore. Why didn't you tell me? Can you see them within your vision and within your mind, that grotesque demon or however it's going to be? The Bible isn't clear on it. But when they're being picked up and they're carried over to the lake of fire and being thrown into that bottomless pit for all of eternity, can you see them screaming and fighting and doing everything they can to get loose and looking at you and saying, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" And then they're thrown off into eternity. You see, a lost person has a responsibility to get saved. But I have a responsibility to tell that lost person about Jesus. Amen. Am I right?
That's good.
Amen. That's point number one, and it's already 7 o'clock. Look at verse number 3 again. Okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Number 2, here we see our hope. You say, now, Brother Price, you talked about our hope and salvation. Yeah, but I don't want you to get confused. Every single one of us tonight as a child of God, we have a biblical hope. And our hope is not a dream. Our hope is real.
Amen. That's right.
My hope is alive. I'm not hoping in the lottery. I'm not hoping in a new home or a car or friendships, and those things are going to fall apart. I have to keep my mind and my heart focused on the hope, Jesus Christ. Amen. Without a risen Savior, I have absolutely no hope. But listen, when I got down on my knees and when you got down on your knees and prayed, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within, and we have an everlasting hope, Jesus Christ, that's going to take us to heaven forevermore.
Amen.
But there was a time that Al Price didn't have that hope. There was a time that you didn't have that hope. There might be one in here tonight that don't have that hope right now. And if you don't have that hope right now, you're eternally lost without Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Titus chapter number 2. We'll go back to the left here. Titus chapter number 2. And I'll try to expedite because of the time. Ooh. Get to Titus. There it is. Titus chapter number 2, and look at verse number 13. Are you there?
Amen.
Talk to me, folks. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm asking you tonight, even as a child of God, you placed your faith in Him for salvation, didn't you?
Amen.
Amen? Can we not place our faith in Him throughout every single day?
Amen.
I mean, He's real. He's alive. He's resurrected from the dead. He's our lively hope. And our hope is built upon the solid rock. Amen? But there is no way that I can live in the hope of Jesus Christ without being in this Word. I can't. Every single morning when I get up, I spend time with God.
Amen.
I have to, because it's my hope. And you hear preachers say this all the time, and they ask, are you spending time with God? The truth of the matter is, it has been said that the average Christian spends less than 5 minutes a day in their Bible and prayer. The average Christian. And then we wonder why America is in the shape that it's in, if that's true. I have no idea how long you spend in Bible reading and prayer. I don't, but you need God's Word. And I ask you to do something different within your devotions. Don't just get a little booklet that tells a heartwarming story and read it. Those things are good, and they do touch our hearts. Amen? They do. They do. But don't just get a little booklet with a heartwarming story with a verse attached to it and read through it and say, hey, I'm done today. Man, get in a book, just like I have when I'm teaching you 1 Peter verse by verse. Study each and every word and see how they are tied together and see how God speaks to your heart.
Amen.
Amen? When your wife, Brother Leo, and she cooked you that chocolate cake, he's saying, oh, yeah, that sounds good. She gets in that cookbook. Well, she's probably done enough now. She's got it memorized. But she knows every ingredient in it. You don't, but she does. When God wrote this book, He knows every ingredient in it. You and I don't, but God does. And He's cooked up, if you will, a chocolate cake that's worth eating. Amen? Amen. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, but also don't lose your hope. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, and I'll read it to you so you're not for time's sake. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When I read that verse, it teaches me that God is working in me.
Amen.
It teaches me that as long as I am breathing, and I use the word ain't to emphasize, I know we got school teachers in here, please forgive me. But it teaches me that God ain't done with me. He's not done with me. And God's not done with you either as long as you're breathing His air. And He might take you to a certain point and use you to accomplish a certain mission. And once you're done with that mission that He wants you to do, He's going to say, hey, I'm going to take Leo and I'm going to break him again. Or I'm going to take Brother Mendez and I'm going to break him again. Or I'm going to take Brian and I'm going to break him again. Or Brother Marks or Mike's and I'm going to break him again. And I'm going to make him ready for another mission. And when you're down and out and those things are all rough about you, you got to remember we have a lively hope who has the right to break us, to make us ready for something greater that He wants us to serve Him in. So instead of getting down in the dumps that we're there, we can have hope in something greater that God is doing within our hearts and our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Instead of walking in the loom and gloom with the knuckles dragging, we say, oh, I'm in a trial. We can look up and say, what's this trial for? What's God want me to do next? He's making me ready for it. I can rejoice in His name because He's the lively hope and He's getting me ready for something greater.
Amen.
Okay, look at verse number 4 and we'll be done. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. And then I underline these words, reserved for you, reserved in heaven for you. And I circled that word you and I put my name there. Point number 3, Peter wants to encourage us believers by telling us that we have a great inheritance. Your inheritance and my inheritance is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't matter that heaven has streets of gold and pearly gates and all those things. I mean, that's a benefit. Amen. It doesn't matter that there's going to be a heavenly choir there with angels flying over at night and day singing, holy, holy, holy. It doesn't matter that there's not going to be no sickness and no pain and all that stuff. I mean, those are just benefits. But I have an inheritance that's incorruptible.
Amen.
One that's undefiled. One that's perfect. One that has never sinned. One that says, Al Price, I loved you. And I reached down into the miry pit and I pulled you out and set you upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And although you were sinful and you were filthy and you were doing the things of the world, I loved you so much that I washed your sins away as far as the east is from the west. And when you get to the heaven, what the Bible is teaching you and me is that we have Jesus forevermore. Can you imagine, Brother Leo, what it's going to be like? Maybe one day you're sitting on the edge of heaven and you're looking, just sitting there relaxing and just looking around thinking, man, this is really nice. Look at that gate and all the apostles' names on it. Man, look at this gold and the crystal sea. Man, there goes Matthew and Mark. There goes King David. Man, this is awesome to be here. And then all of a sudden, a hand touches you on the shoulder, and Jesus sits down beside you. And when Jesus sits down beside you, and He looks at you, He says, you know, Brother Leo, you're my child.
Amen.
Brother Mendez, I sure did love you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. All of this is yours.
Praise God.
Because you trusted in a lively hope.
Amen.
Come on, my child. Let me show you some more. Can you imagine? You remember when we were little kids and your daddy would take you by the hand and lead you down a path of a trail? I can't wait for Jesus to grab me by the hand and say, Alan, come on. Let me show you your mansion. Alan, come on. I think your dad's over here. You know how much you like to fish. Let me go over and show you your daddy. Remember your grandma? Let me show him to you. This is yours forevermore Folks, I don't know about you, but salvation is the greatest gift that could ever be given. I'm going to heaven because of Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Oh, things might get rough here on the earth from time to time, but I have a lively hope. And His name is Jesus Christ. And I can trust in Him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the message tonight. And Lord, although I didn't get to finish, and I just pray that it was a blessing to these dear, sweet folks. And I pray that it was an encouragement to them. Something that I give them something from You that they can hold on to when that trial does come. Lord, I have no earthly idea when You're going to come back and take us home. I don't know that I'm going to die and be put in a grave and be brought out of that grave when You return, or if the trumpet's going to sound and the last thing this earth is ever going to see is the number 9 on the bottom of my shoe when I meet You in the air. I have no clue. But Lord, I do know this. I long to meet You. I can't wait for that meeting in the sky. And I ask that it would be quick. That God, if there's one here tonight in this room that made a profession of faith and never trusted You as their Savior, I beg and plead that today would be the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray for the Christian who might be hurting tonight and needing encouragement, and I pray that they lean upon that blessed hope. Thank You, Jesus, for the Word of God. Maybe there's one here tonight to say, Brother Price,